I was sitting at the chuppah, and how they waste a lot of time. It was a Persian wedding for both sides. So I already knew, I brought multiple sfarim because I knew I wasn't going anywhere so fast. You know what I'm saying? So I came, I'm doing my thing, and then a friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, sits next to me during the chuppah. So we're friends, whatever, and I schmoozed with him, and we talked, whatever, but then I stopped talking. And
5 minutes.
Huh? Whatever, you know what I'm saying? We schmoozed, what's going on, and then I went back to learning. So this guy sends my wife a text afterwards. He's like, I'm never sitting next to your husband in a chuppah again. He's like, he's the worst friend. Huh? He's being funny. It's we schmoozed. And I'm not a girl when there's nothing left to schmooze about. So that, you know what I'm saying? I don't make up stuff to schmooze about. What do men schmooze about? Life, kids, work, health. So, that's it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to talk about his clothes. I'm not going to talk about his... I had a sefer. I probably should have offered him to learn, but I was doing chazars in the middle of a taisvis. It wasn't gonna. Probably should have brought him in, but I needed to.
He was a rav?
No. He was a balabas. Whatever. I told him, what exactly are you expecting? What do you want? The chuppah was an hour and change long. One of those Persian chuppah. You know what I'm saying? You know the ones where you get stuck. You're like,
you be,
huh?
We just learn in a different room and come out and dance it. So that's really the point of the wedding.
No,
he's not gonna notice you anyways.
Whoever gets called up,
I did get called up for one bracha, but whatever. What shaykh is, you know what I'm saying? Don't waste my time. Matom Moshe.
Does the Rav see this friend often?
Yeah. No, he's a good friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine, but I'm just like. And my wife tells me you're antisocial. I'm like, I'm not antisocial. I schmooze with him, but when there's not, I'm not going to make up stuff to schmooze about. You know what I'm saying?
So is it a bad itzah to never go to the chuppah? You're getting called up, but you're very close with them. So after that, you can just go on.
Go to the chuppah and bring a sefer. You know what I'm saying?
I can't focus.
Just teleport. That's what I do.
I don't want people to stare at me.
Who cares?
Just go in a private room.
What? Just be normal. Sit there and do your thing. You know what I'm saying? That's my philosophy. They're doing their thing. They get you stuck there for an hour and a half doing all their stuyot. I can't do my thing. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm the oddball because I'm the one sitting there with the sefer. What are you talking about? You're the oddball. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just to sit there and you dance with him after the chuppah. There's no reason why chuppah should take an hour and a half. Make any sense. I don't even know what that means. And it started, I told the guy, because I had to give a daf. I didn't give the daf yesterday because he said we're starting 7:30 promptly. Last time I'm ever believing a Persian who tells me that the chuppah is starting at 7:30 promptly. It started at 9 o'clock promptly. Okay. No, he's like, no, but we're shutting off the lights and the music and the shmorg to send everybody to, okay.
9 o'clock seems early for 7:30 prompt.
I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. He's a Persian Mashadi, and he married an Ashkenazi girl. They sent it. So there's two sides. There's the Persian side and the Ashkenaz side. They sent out two sets of invitations with two different times on them. There's the Persian time one, and then there's the Ashkenazi time one. Because Miskinim Ashkenazim, they actually show up on time. You know what I'm saying? So if it says 7:30, they'll be there at 6. You know what I'm saying? So, what are they going to do?
Is there any idea to actually be at the chuppah?
Yeah, you go. No, the Zohar Kadosh says very, very holy things about the chuppah. But sometimes some very unholy things happen at the chuppah.
So what is this? Svara? That if there's going to be people that are not... Sanua at the chuppah, it's better to do it in a conservative shul.
What?
A reform shul. Shtos, no?
Who are you talking to? Matatoy. No, that's Shtos.
What's Rabbi's take on doing chuppahs and conservative reform?
Why give them business?
Is it like Yerik Valiavor? Like,
Yerik Valiavor? I don't think so. But like what shaykh is? Is there any lack of halls that are not?
Yeah, much cheaper. At least 15K cheaper.
It's not cheaper. Long Grey Neck is not
cheaper. Assume it is.
Extremely expensive.
Rav Moshe has about 4 tshuvas on weddings in conservative reform situations. He says different things in different places. One thing for the Masada Kedushin and one thing for the guests. And if it's in the shul, and if it's in the hall, whatever. It's definitely not a good thing. But like, is it Yarig Val Yavo? No. Is it a good thing? Like, why? You know, feels dirty.
Would we do a wedding there?
Rav Moshe says that if it's happening there and you're the Masada and you're concerned that they might get a Masada Kiddush, if you refuse, then they'll get a Masada Kiddushin that doesn't know what he's doing and it'll like kind of derail the whole thing, so then do it. But you can already tell that it's like, yeah. I hear. The problem is when all their, not all, but many of their Rabbanim do their way, oh, this is kosher. No. What are you doing? But anyway, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Then it changes the standard.
Huh?
It makes people think it's okay. All the rabbis.
If Rabbi Baba Junion can do it, you know, so then it must be kosher. No.
Kosher style.
Huh? Like the delis, exactly. No. Be glad, be. I'm a big fan of infusing weddings with Kedusha. I tell Makila all the time, for people who do that, you know, how much Kedusha can you suck out of a wedding before it's not a Jewish wedding? You know what I'm saying? A wedding, a chuppah, is supposed to be Malev Gadush b'Kedusha. So you do this and you do that, whatever. But all these things suck out the Kedusha from the mouth, huh? Fireworks, explosions, butterflies, all these things, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Be unapologetically Jewish. You know what that means? Don't be like, oh, you know, Chaval, we have this, so we have to kind of make it a little bit more goyish, so we throw in the flower girl and whatever, and just to make it a little bit. You don't have to apologize for your Judaism. You don't have to apologize for Minagei Yisrael. You have to apologize for, oh, I'm sorry, we have to have a mechitza. Let's make it lower and see-through. Apologetic Judaism. You know that Judaism? No, not at the wedding. I'm saying in general. Like people feel the need to apologize on behalf of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm really sorry that Arayot are Asur. Let's try to mingle as much as we can just to get right there, push the envelope, because whatever. Are you crazy? Are you apologizing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mi ata bichla? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Temid, v'chayon ha-metah b'tochenu. Gave us chukim u'mishpatim tovim. Let's try to downgrade the mechitza. Why? Because it's Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such a beautiful Torah with chukim and mishpatim. Because Stam Gabi is making me nervous. Now he says like this. It's kishmak. Yeah. Action. Oh no, really? Okay. I feel like a politician right now. You got me on hot mic. Anyway. Says, Boker Tov. Yom Shlishi B'Shabbat Kodesh LeParashat VaYeshev. Today is Taz B'Kislev. We're on page Kuf Yud Bet. B'Mitzvotav Chafetz Meod. Our love of the mitzvot. Emuna B'Yakrut HaMitzvot. Believing B'Emuna Shlema about the preciousness of the Torah and mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The appreciation for the mitzvot. Moshe Rabbeinu, בתפילתו לזכות להיכנס לארץ ישראל, ביקש ואמר, עבר ענה וראה את הארץ הטובה, אשר בעבר הירדן, הר הטוב הזה והלבנון. ופירש רש"י, הר הטוב זו ירושלים, והלבנון זה בית המקדש. בית קריאת התורה של פרשה זו התעוררתי לדבר נורא. חמן ציון says when they were reading פרשת ואתחנן, he had a, in Yiddish it's called an einfall, he had an epiphany. הנה משה רבנו בחיר הנביאים ואדון הנביאים, הנבראים ואדון הנביאים, כל כך השתוקק לארץ ישראל, התחנן לראות מקרוב את ירושלים את המקדש, ולא זכה. שנאמר עלי ראש הפסגה וסעניך, ים הצפון ותימן המזרח ולבניך, כי לא תעבור את הירדן הזה. משה רבנו, who was the pinnacle of creation, אדון הנביאים, so desired to enter ארץ ישראל, to visit בית המקדש, and Hashem denied his request, said no. ולעומת זאת, בתקופת בית המקדש, היו גם עמי הארץ ופשוטי העם שזכו לגור בארץ ממש, ולא רק לראותה, האם ניתן לשער את המרחק העצום בינם לבין משה רבנו, כרחוק מזרח ומערב, during the times of בית ראשון, many Jews, including עמי הארץ גמורים, whatever, lived in ארץ ישראל, visited בית המקדש. Can you fathom the disparity between משה רבנו and these פשוטי העם? משה רבנו begging הקדוש ברוך הוא, to come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says no. And yet, these Ami Haaretz, they're living there, they're doing things, they're zochet to things that Moshe Rabbeinu was not. And he says, ולהם הגיע הדבר כל כך בקלות, נולדו לתוכה, כילד בתוך המשפחה, ובהם בחר השם לישיבת הארץ ולקיום המצוות התלויות בה. They were born into it. They were born in Eretz Yisrael. They were born, quote unquote, into the lap of luxury, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get this זכות. צא ולמד מעלת הדורות האחרונים שזכו למה שלא זכו הקדמונים. שאולו רק ידעו עד כמה חפץ בהם הקדוש ברוך הוא היו פועלים ועושים מצוות ביתר שאת ובחביבות גדולה. In the later generations, if we would just know how much Hashem loves us and how dear and beloved our Torah ומצוות is בפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, we would push ourselves constantly to strive higher. וכבר העיר מהר הוא בשם רבנו האריזל שדבר קטן שנעשה בדורות הללו שקול פי כמה מהדורות הקדמונים. Little things, small steps, a good seder, an act of שמירת העיניים, וכן על זה הדרך, in our generations is so much more powerful than big things in previous generations. רבנו חיים ויטל says that בשם הארי. ולזה צריכים להאמין בעקרת המצוות שאנו מקיימים. We have to believe in the preciousness, in the grandeur of the מצוות that we fulfill. כמה חביבות הן לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא. ומתוך רגש כזה של אהבה להקדוש ברוך הוא, לא ייתכן שנדחה קיום המצוות לאחר זמן. If you just stop to think about it, you'll never procrastinate, you'll never push off a mitzvah again. Wow, I have this chut. Just an example of living or walking in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was never zocheh. Can you imagine? It doesn't make any sense to be zocheh to something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. It's a big zach. And guess what? We're tested in our generations with tests that the Avot and Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Gedolei Olam until this generation haven't been tested with. Can you imagine that too? And if you pass such a test, how chaviv that is b'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? והרי המצוות מלוות את האדם בכל ימי חייו, וגם בזמן ובמקום שנבצר ממנו לקיימה מבחינת מעשית, יכול תמיד לחשוב ביהוד ג' עיקרים שמנה הרמב״ם או ביראת השם ואהבתו. A person's מצוות always, you know, they always accompany him in life. And even in situations where you can't do a mitzvah, there are situations where you can't learn, you can't do a mitzvah, you're always able to think about love of הקדוש ברוך הוא, fear of הקדוש ברוך הוא, the 13 עיקרים, the 13 principles of faith, ושכן מצווה בידו, שמצוות אלו קיומם במחשבה ונוהגות בכל זמן, בכל מקום ובכל זמן, those מצוות, זה שיש מצוות תמידיות, יודגים על העיקרים, those things are able to be מקוים at any point, רבותיי יום טוב.